It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We get back into the text this morning, Genesis 7, where we'll resume now with verses 13 through 16. All right, your positive volition and obedience to Hebrews 10:25 is why you are here this morning. In order to make it fully count to your benefit, it demands that you have isolated the sin nature. You have put it in its case, so to speak, through the rebound technique, so that once again this morning we can assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine under inhale faith in its purest of forms, apart from any disturbance the sin nature and distortion otherwise in that regards, and advance our own thinking in regards to the plan of God, as we obviously are living in the last days. It doesn't take one eye to see that, a spiritual eye, in regards to the condition of our world spiritually, morally, and ethically, as well as believers who are en masse lukewarm today and basically disregard the importance of the truth of Bible doctrine in regards to their Christian lives. So with that in mind, make sure you're in fellowship as, once again this morning, we continue on in the study at hand as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for bringing us together once again this morning, the positive volition in this geographical region for the study of your word. We ask that God the Holy Spirit once again enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here in the immediate context of chapter 7, getting back into the text, we are in the final week before the flood, which comes to its climax in this particular chapter. The emphasis in regards to that week is really on the final day, the last day of the week, and the boarding of the ark by Noah, family, and accompanying animals in this respect. As we have seen, the presentation of the boarding, of getting on the ark, is presented in two parts here in the passage. And that is designed, artistically, if you will, to give us a sense of two waves, two presentations of this boarding process, and hence a sense of wave or tidal action, which gives you a good visual in regards to that which is going to come upon the world in judgment with respect to the flood. Now, in this presentation of two parts, first of all, in verses 5 through 9, that emphasizes Noah's fidelity to God's directed will in getting on the ark, verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean, and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Then in between the presentations we have an interlude, picking up on the chronology or dating in regards to the flood, which occurs in the 600th year, second month, 17th day of Noah's life. That month is known as the month of Ziv in the Hebrew, as noted in 1 Kings 6:1. And this places us 1,656 years post-Adam's birth. We would date it on our calendar approximately 3,954 B.C. That interlude is emphasized then in verses 10 through 12, and it came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. And the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And in that chronological notation, we're also informed that the flood event had more than simply rain that was involved in regards to its impact and deluge that covered the entire planet. And part of the mechanics of the flood revolved around the earth itself, the deeps, the surface of the ocean that surrounded Pangaea at that time, basically erupting, coming apart, if you will, such as you might understand in regards to underwater volcanic action and things of this nature. And that occurred simultaneously with the water vapor canopy totally and completely condensing out within a period of 40 days. So you had the combinations, the two catastrophic water events occurring simultaneously in the first 40 days of the entire scenario. But that is not even in of itself the completed picture in regards to how this was all made possible of actually covering every aspect, including mountains that would arise, etc., from the crust upheavals of the earth, of the deeps, etc., because the flood itself, the ascension of the waters, as we'll see, lasted some 150 days. So, in the Fundy world, probably growing up in Sunday school, if you was in part of that religious program, all you knew was that it rained for 40 days, and that's what flooded the planet. No, that was only truly a side effect. Obviously, that completely changed the Earth's atmosphere in regards to the pristine condition of the pre-diluvian world. And it also obviously had such impact in regards to our solar involvement, the sun, ozone, and things of this nature, that the lifespan of man was greatly reduced in an almost immediate fashion within, if you will, a few centuries after the fact, where people beforehand were living well into many hundreds of years. Now, as we settle in and eventually will become during the time of Israel, the time you get to that point in time in history, that to live 70, 80 years was considered a long life in that respect, and that has been retained in history to the present time. So then after the interlude in regards to the boarding, we had the second presentation of a boarding process. That reflects, if you will, the second wave of action that occurs on this final day. Whereas, again, the first boarding process emphasized Noah's fidelity in obedience to God. In this particular section, the emphasis is on God's faithfulness in grace directed towards Noah. All right, so that gets us back up kind of to snuff here in regards to where we're at. We'll look at the Hebrew here in verses 13 through 16. One of these days I'll memorize these buttons on this thing and I'll have it. Verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah. What we have here in the Hebrew, you have the preposition bait. Bet, B-E-T, plus the common feminine singular noun in the construct, Etsem, E-T-S-E-M. Literally, that word means bone, translated same. bone of my bone, looking of one, so hence same, is how the Hebrew is thinking in this regard. On the same day, is you have the definite article plus the noun, common masculine singular absolute, our word for day, yom, Y-O-M, followed with the definite article and the adjective masculine singular, zeh, Z-E-H, the day, this one, this very day. So, on that final day, if you will, the same day that they were entering in the previous presentation, emphasized, he entered. You had a cow perfect third masculine singular of our verb to go, to come or go, can be translated either way, here to go or enter into, B-O, bo. Is translated in the English at the end of the phrase itself. Thank you for letting me know what's not working. I see the demons haven't departed since I've been gone. All right, Bo. Is translated at the end of the English here, the word entered the ark at the end of the verse here. But in the Hebrew, on the same day, the day, this very day, over emphasis, Noah, you had a proper noun, transliterated, N-O-A-H, and then the list of his sons, and Shem and Ham and Japheth. A wow conjunction, proper noun, Shem, S-H-E-M. Wow conjunction, then Ham, H-A-M. Wow conjunction, then Japheth or Yepheth, Y-E-P-H-E-T-H. The sons of Noah. Sons is a noun, common masculine plural construct, Ben, B-E-N. Noah, sons of, construct, Noah. Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And then, in addition, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, literally, in the Hebrew. You have wow conjunction, then our noun for wife here, common feminine singular construct, Isha, I-S-H. A-H, followed with our noun, Noah, proper name, Noah, and the three wives of his sons, wow conjunction. You had the cardinal adjective, masculine singular construct, three, shalosh, S-H-A-L-O-S-H, wives, Isha, repeated here in the masculine plural construct, common masculine plural construct. And this one has the third masculine singular suffix attached to it. His son, their wives, literally. That's why you have the plural. Their wives. The three their wives of his sons. Son is preposition ben. Again, with the preposition with third masculine plural suffix eth, E-T-H. And the wife of Noah and three wives of his sons with them, literally. Into the ark. Preposition L, E-L. Follows our noun, the definite article, common feminine singular absolute, word for ark, tebah, T-E-B-A-H. Verse 14, they and every beast after his kind. They is the pronoun, third masculine plural, him, H-E-M. Wow construct. A wild conjunction, Common Master and Singular Noun, construct coal, K-O-L, every, plus the definite article, and the common feminine singular absolute noun, kayam, C-H-A-Y-Y-A-M, literally, and every living thing, translated every beast in the New American Standard. After his kind is the construct preposition lamed, plus the common masculine singular construct with the third feminine singular suffix mean, M-I-Y-N, after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind. While conjunction, common masculine singular construct coal, repeated, a definite article, then our noun, common feminine singular absolute, translated cattle, is behema, B-E-H-E-M-A-H, cattle or beast, as it may be translated in that regards. After his kind, our construction again, lamed, with a common masculine singular construct with third feminine singular suffix, mean, and all the beasts or cattle after his kind. And then the third category here mentioned, actually it'll be the second in specifics, but anyway. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind. You have wow conjunction, common masculine singular construct, coal, same construction we saw earlier. And then every creeping things that creeps, if you will. You have the definite article, common masculine singular absolute, Ramesh, R-E-M-E-S-H, plus the definite article, then the verb, cal participle, masculine singular absolute, Ramash, Ramesh, Ramash, R-A-M-A-S-H. Then you have the preposition all, A-L, common feminine singular absolute, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, upon the earth. After his kind, lamed, with your noun, common masculine singular construct, with third masculine singular suffix, mean. So literally you have, and every crawler or creeping thing, the ones crawling upon the earth, after his kind. And then the final category here, and every bird after his kind, all sorts of birds. Wow conjunction, common masculine singular construct, coal, every. Then our noun for bird with the definite article, common masculine singular absolute, oph, O-P-H. After his kind, lamed. And then our noun, mean, masculine singular with the third masculine singular suffix. Every bird after his kind. All sorts of bird. You have coal, again, K-O-L, every or all. Sorts of birds, you have literally common, both singular, construct, or noun, to support, T-S-I-P-P-O-R, literally all chirping birds, songbirds, of all wings in the Hebrew, kol, repeated, common masculine, common feminine singular absolute, our noun, kanaf, K-A-N-A-P-H, literally wings, all chirping birds of all wings, translated all sorts of birds. Verse 15, so they went into the ark to Noah, while consecutive, cal imperfect, third masculine plural, bo, to enter, again, B-O, followed with the preposition L, E-L, literally went to Noah, into the ark. L, proper noun, Noah, preposition L, repeated, definite article, then our noun for ark, again, Tebah, T-E-B-A-H, common feminine singular, by twos of all flesh, which was the breath, literally spirit, of life. By twos is literally in the Hebrew. You have the adjective masculine dual absolute, shana'in, repeated twice. S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-N. Shana'in, shana'in. Two by two. From all flesh, preposition men, M-I-N. Follow with a noun, common masculine singular, construct kol, all. And then our noun with the definite article, common masculine singular, absolute, word for flesh, bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. In which was the breath of life. You had the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. Followed with the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, bet, B-E-T, which in them was understood. There is no to-be verb in the Hebrew. The breath of life, or spirit of life, you had the noun, common both, singular, construct, or word, ruach. Spirit or wind, R-U-A-C-H, of life, kayayim, common masculine plural absolute, C-H-A-Y-Y-I-Y-M, which in it was the breath or spirit of life. Then verse 16, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, and those that entered, vowel conjunction, definite article, cal participle, masculine plural absolute, or word bo repeated, B-O. The ones entering, male and female of all flesh, we have our typical common words for a male and female of the species. First is the common masculine singular noun absolute, zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. Plus the vowel conjunction, that's male. Noun, common feminine singular absolute, female is nekabah, N-E-Q-E-B-A-H. From all flesh, literally, preposition men, M-I-N. Kol and bashar, repeated, B-A-S-H-A-R, flesh. Entered as God had commanded him. This, obviously, is God acknowledging Noah's fidelity in this respect. Entered, you have the verb bo repeated here as a cal perfect, third common plural. They entered, followed with the preposition kaph, K-A-P-H. Followed with the relative pronoun asher, A-S-H-E-R. According to that which our word command here is in the PL, intensive, active in PL, perfect, third masculine singular, sawa, T-S-A-W. A-H, sawa, sign a direct object with the third masculine singular suffix, eth, E-T-H, reference obviously to Noah. Then our final word here in the Hebrew is a common masculine plural absolute, or word for God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. They entered according to that which he commanded him, Noah, God. God doing the commanding, obviously. Noah being the object of the verb. And then finally, and the Lord closed it behind him. While consecutive, with the cal imperfect third masculine singular, our verb sagar, S-A-G-A-R, to close or shut, He closed it, shut it. Proper noun, Yahweh. Behind him, he had the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, Ba'ad. B-A-A-D. Obviously, it's understood the it being the door of the ark. All right. Rereading the verses. And on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They, Noah's sons and wives, and every beast after his kind, every living thing, literally, then broken down into three categories, specifically, and all the cattle after their kind, and every crawling thing that crawls on the earth, upon the earth, after his kind, and every bird after his kind, all chirping birds of all wings, of all sorts. Verse 15, so they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh, which was the breath of, or spirit of life. Verse 16, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded Noah, and the Lord closed it behind him. All right, the exegesis, verses 13 through 16. Moses repeats the narrative of boarding the ark from verses 7 through 9 in a second, quote, wave, end quote, of presentation with additional detail. Again, the visual, to me, the language is so colorful in the Hebrew. And without really sitting back and evaluating and looking at why is he presenting these things, is it just more detail or what, you see these two ways of presentation, two ways of boarding, and that is to visualize this flood event. And truly, the flood event, the catastrophic results of it, is due to tidal or wave action, more so even than the volume of rain or water that's involved. We understand in the world today the impact of large waves, tsunamis, what kind of damage they can create. The power of water in mass volume is completely destructive. Rogue waves, a thing that captains of ships for years have been saying has occurred out there in the ocean, and people in disbelief simply pass it off in regards to people's imaginations. Now they're finding this stuff be completely and totally true. It can be a perfect clear day, and nothing, no bad weather around you, and events of huge waves, 30, 50, even taller, coming out of nowhere and catching ships off guard and capsizing them. So we understand the impact of tidal action and of waves, and this whole picture is being presented for those who are astute in capturing, visualizing the how Moses is presenting this in this whole scenario. So in that regard, now we have the second wave, the boarding presentation. So two, in so doing now, he, Moses, goes back in time, starting afresh. A lot of things are happening in these verses that on the surface is missed by people that just cursorily, superficially read over it. By starting over, he is obviously starting afresh. And that is another, if you will, twix in regards to a subtle nuance that is being presented in his form of presentation. So three, this pictures God's grace providing a new beginning for creation accompanying judgment. It pictures God's grace providing a new beginning for creation that will that accompanies judgment. Obviously, judgment is coming upon the world. God provides a deliverance with respect to the world. And this looks to His grace in judgment in the terms of salvation or deliverance for mankind. So four, it harks back to the original beginning, the fall in the garden, and the promise, and hence the judgment associated with that, and the promise then to provide salvation through the seed of the woman, all the way back to chapter 3, verse 15. We saw a new beginning made available, made possible for men, even though men, under their own free will, failed and found themselves in the position of judgment by God. God in grace turned right around. Obviously, in eternity past, He already has this figured out. Turned right around and said, all is not lost. My plan, under my grace, expression of my love towards you as humanity, has provided you a means of salvation and deliverance from the catastrophic effects of your sin. Which, all these things are really phenomenal. By eating a certain fruit when it was ingested and digested by the human beings who ate it, it had such effect that it changed the DNA, literally changed the DNA of the human species, creating a sin nature with a death gene, an aging gene in that respect. And obviously He can provide something in a physical form in that regards. We saw also physically there is a remedy in regards to the aging gene in that respect. Sin gene, the sin nature gene, obviously had to be done, taken care of in a spiritual realm. And that was the reason why man was kicked out of the garden. The angels were set, posted as guards around the garden because they could have turned right around and ate of the tree of life and overturned the death gene. So when you think about these things, you look out in the world and you see these people in pursuit of the fountain of youth, a physical remedy to overturn death and provide longevity of life. Understand, God has created the physical things in this world in order for this to be accomplished, if it could be found. See, these are things that only people who truly study the Bible in depth, in detail, can come to conclusions on as regards to the world. These things are not just a fantasy in and of itself, even though whatever success one may have, obviously, is to be seen. We know the success will be provided by God as we get into the new heavens, the new earth, new creation, when human beings in their normal bodies are transferred into this new creation. And we have the tree of life and the leaves of the trees, as we saw in the New Jerusalem. There you have the remedy in regards to obviously, not only the death gene, but the sin nature gene in that regards. So, just things again, superficially, reading the book of Genesis in 2 weeks, you know, the book of the Bible, we'll read the Bible in a year or whatever. Obviously, you're not going to see these things. And it just really is a blessing by God to give positive volition this kind of insight and understanding in regards to the world. That's information that we would categorize as wisdom. See, not necessarily intellectual knowledge in and of itself, but wisdom that's bestowed upon man by God to know and discern these things. Just as we can look at the world in and of itself, see through the cloak of the darkness that it enshrouds it, and with the light of doctrine, turn all this into light and have that discerning wisdom to not be taken in, and to be able to the best of our ability, avoid all the pitfalls that Satan has in regards to the world, and yet understand at the same time why the world is doing what it's doing in many cases. See? So, anyway. So here we have a visual insight that Moses wants us to see, and that is a fresh beginning, a new beginning, which goes all the way back to the garden, and God providing a means of salvation for mankind in that respect. And now, once again, through grace, He is going to provide a deliverance for mankind physically. And that is to ensure that the spiritual deliverance is indeed is fulfilled. And so that's point five. Point four again. It harks back to the original beginning of the promise to provide salvation through the seed of the woman. Five, in order to protect His promise, God must now wipe the slate clean and start over. There is not a thing, power, whatever, of the created world that can undo God's plan. Men will attempt to do it. They'll give it their best effort. And they will acquire the power of Satan and demons in order to attain these lofty, self-exalting goals and overturning God's plan in regards to mankind and His creation. Just as we saw in the angelic or demonic infiltration of the human race in the post or the pre-diluvian era, trying to wipe out the seed of the woman. Now the world has become so evil in mass, and the human race is finding itself completely deteriorating and diminishing in regards to being pure humanity because of this angelic reproductive process that's going on. God declares that now I must step in and overrule Satan's plan and the negative volition of mankind in this process. That's another thing you think about in regards to God's plan. While Satan, obviously, is free to do what he needs to do, he's still limited. And so in the recourse, satanic recourse of his appeal process at the fall, obviously the appeal process does not allow him to present his appeal in any willy-nilly fashion without limits. There are certain rules that he must follow. There are certain guidelines that he is not allowed to step over, boundaries, etc. And all this obviously points to the supremacy of God in and of Himself, the supreme being of the universe, and His absolute total control over creation. These kinds of principles, these kinds of things, is designed in our knowledge and knowing these things, designed to encourage us and give us courage in regards to fulfilling God's plan of life, knowing that not even Satan himself and all the demons in mass can disrupt His plan for creation. And His plan in total in regards to positive volition and us fulfilling His plan in our own lives and all these other things attached to it. And in spite of excuses and pitfalls that people fall into, believers, in regards to abandoning God's plan and otherwise, it's just basically a manifestation of spiritual cowardice and unbelief in regards to God taking care of them and providing for them otherwise. And that is the nature of negative volition, as it repeals God's plan in regards to their life as being less than sufficient. God steps in And while, yes, he has permissive will, he has directive will, he has geographical will, we must always keep in mind he has overruling will. We'll probably not until phase three truly appreciate how much he is overruling even today. Obviously, we know through the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the mystery of lawlessness, and the Antichrist himself is being overruled in regards to preempting the timing of God's plan and all this stuff. So know this, as we live in the last days, and while we are millennial apart in regards to what happened to Noah, his family, we are right next to him spiritually in regards to what's happening to us today, living in the time in which we live. As it states, as Jesus says, we live as in the times of Noah in the last days. Just as in the times of Noah. You don't lose heart. You recognize it's a special time in history. It's really very privileged. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure attached to it, but that's the way it is in God's plan. You got pressure, but understand with the testing comes the blessing. See, and there's blessing all around us. But don't be surprised, as even it is prophesied, that many will abandon the faith. And while one would hope and what one would desire is that population was at the end maybe come up in a sort of mass, one more representation of the end times, probably that's not going to happen. You don't see that in the time of Noah. What you see is negative volition becoming dominant. And affecting everywhere around them, even those who came out of potentially previously positive circles. By the time we get to the end of this thing, the judgment comes. You got 8 believers left on this planet. See. So you don't lose heart. Understand, even then, God will deliver for those who are positive and through His grace in this respect. And if it means coming in and completely wiping the slate clean, purging it, cleaning it with water, which obviously you can take in regards to metaphorical sense, a Bible doctrine, and all these other things that it could represent. I mean, not that that's interpreted in regards to the water here, but you can picture it. God cleansing the planet, getting rid of all the filth and starting over. And all this is going to happen once again. Not to the point of a complete desolation of the planet, but in mass, the world in mass will once again be purged. And in this case, in the situation coming before us, obviously you will have more than just 8 believers that will be around for the new millennial period to be started with the reign of Christ in that respect. So, Bible doctrine really is amazing. It doesn't make any difference where you're at in history. It is currently and always presently edifying and applicable to us in time, no matter when you live in history. And it just happens to be for us, in regards to the time period in which we live, completely applicable as we are entering into the final days in which evil will once again reign on this planet. To the extent that it looks like all is lost. So, anyway. 6, now the phrase on the very same day, Bet Etsem Hayam Zeh, is seldom used, that phrase, and it stresses a memorable occasion. And indeed, this day would be extremely memorable for all posterity, for any who will believe the doctrine and recall it, and obviously for Noah and his family. We see the phrase used in regards to Abraham's circumcision. We'll see it again here in Genesis 17 in that respect, verses 23-26. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all the servants who were born in his house, and all were bought with the money, every male among the men of Abraham's households, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on the very same day as God had said to him. God established the ritual of circumcision. It's not the physical act that is causing any spiritual realities in their life. It is designed, once again, to be a teaching aid. Otherwise, there may be, as often construed by medical society, a health benefit in regards to circumcising males. But either way, the Jews, they believed that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. So much for the women. I guess they all just kind of get in if they can or not. And maybe that's why you see what goes on over in the Muslim world. Some of these practices that are carried on and taken out to their logical extreme. See, a lot of times people proclaim things that they don't think it out to its logical extreme, what they are concluding or stating. So here we have a very memorable occasion. As the beginning of circumcision of the Hebrew race is instituted by Abraham. And it represents the isolation of the sin nature. The foreskin is a useless piece of skin, essentially. And to cut it off recognizes Christ conquering the rulership, the absolute rulership of the sin nature. And verse 26, and there was our phrase, the very same day, verse 26, repeated in the very same day, Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son. And then the second occasion of this phrase is in regards to Moses' death. Then Deuteronomy 32:48. On the day of his death, obviously, Moses departing, phase 2 into phase 3, is a very memorable occasion with respect to the Jewish history. And the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up to this mountain of the Abiram, Mount Nebo, which is the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and look at the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel for possession. Then die on the mountain where you ascend, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Believers being gathered in their souls, human spirits, in phase 3. Sheol, there for them, Sheol, paradise. Now they're all together in the third heaven. Moses, when he died, was 120 years old. He was in perfect health. Take that, doctors, to the bank and figure that one out. Nobody dies apart from the agency of Jesus Christ. Nobody. And nobody cannot die, can stop themselves from dying, if it's God's will that they're out of here. I don't care if they are in perfect health. We're all getting a lot amount of time. You do with it what you're going to do with it. See? So, again, just one of those doctrines that we can grab a hold of for our own comfort, our own balance, and clarity of thinking in regards to life around us. While you may think, and obviously evil's involved many times in regards to death, etc., understand God still could have delivered if he wanted to. That's his deal. And here you have a situation with Moses being in perfect health. And as a type of Christ, it's almost like he can check himself out. I always like that Indian and the little big man. My son, it's a good day to die. I'm going to go up the mountain and die. And he gets up there and sits down and starts raining. Am I dead yet? Yeah. I guess not today. Sometimes the magic works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, yeah. We understand the magic being in the power of God. See. So, it's your time to go. It's your time to go. If it's not, then you will continue to exist. And again, one of the promises of security for positive volition is that you will not preempt fulfilling God's plan for your life if you are positive and running and completing your course otherwise. He'll keep you around in order to do that. It doesn't promise necessary longevity, but it does promise the means and capability of fulfilling God's plan for your life, no matter how many years it may be relatively short or lengthy. So two memorable occasions is used in the phrase on the very same day. And we know also in Moses' death that angels came and they hid his body. Why? Because God knows man. Man always would turn right around and try to make Moses their sacred cow. See? Hold him up in esteem and start worshiping the man. Well, they did their own things, but that's the nature of the sin nature. And again, things coming out in regards to the book of Revelation. The very first thing that negative volition did in their rejection, disregard of God, is embrace family in self-exaltation. How few people truly take serious Jesus' words in the book of Matthew that anybody who puts mother, father, son, daughter above me is not worthy of me. You want to make a family your sacred cow and disregard a Bible doctrine. We know the legitimate applications with regard to family. I'm not stupid. The Bible isn't stupid. It recognizes the importance of family. But to put doctrine, to put family over doctrine, is not being worthy of Christ. See? And that is the natural gravity of rejection of doctrine, is to turn to immediate and close relationships in order to fill the void. See? Well, why don't you instead try to fill, apply doctrine and not have a void? And you apply the doctrine, you'll find out emotionally you don't need it. You don't need to fill these voids. But anyway, what a couple of weeks off will do for you as a communicator. Whether good or bad, I'm not going to argue, but either way. So 7, now the day in view, that's memorable on our occasion, is the final day of the week ushering in the flood. The final day of the 7-day week, verse 4. And everyone's getting on the boat. The cruise is getting ready to start. And the first port of call will be Mount Ararat. Oh, I've always wanted to see that part of the world. Well, here we go. So, 8, now this point of time is recognized in the past tense of the verbs entered, verses 13 and 16, and went, as is translated in verse 15, with both translations being bow in the Hebrew. So, the past tense recognizes this action as happened, as had happened. So, 9, basically the scenario brings the reader to the very edge of the great event. To the very edge, and then, bam, God unlocks His wrath. A wrath that cannot be stopped through any force otherwise, through the flood. All right, let's take our break.